Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this call. Joining me today are Conrad Keijzer, Clariant's CEO, and Oliver Rittgen, who joined Clariant as Clariant's CFO on August 1st and participating in his first results call today. Welcome, Oliver.
Thank you.
Conrad will start today's call by providing a summary of the third quarter developments, followed by Oliver, who will guide us through the business unit results and savings program. Conrad will then conclude with the outlook for the full year 2025. There will be a Q&A session following our presentation. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. I would like to remind all participants that the presentation includes forward-looking statements, which are subject to risk and uncertainties. Listeners and readers are therefore encouraged to refer to the disclaimer on slide 2 of today's presentation. As a reminder, the conference call is being recorded. A replay and transcript of this call will be available on the Investor Relations section of the Clariant website. Let me now hand over to Conrad to begin the presentation.
Thank you, Andreas. I'm pleased to report that Clariant achieved significant growth in EBITDA before exceptional items in the third quarter of 2025, showcasing the success of our performance improvement programs and effective price and cost management in a continued challenging market environment for our sector. We delivered sales of 906 million Swiss francs. This represents a 3% decrease in local currencies and a 9% decrease in Swiss francs. Our EBITDA before exceptional items increased by 5% in absolute terms to 162 million Swiss francs. We delivered a significant margin improvement of 230 basis points to 17.9%, driven by our performance improvement programs as well as price and cost management across all of our business units. Our savings program continued to support our performance in Q3. We achieved savings of 19 million Swiss francs and booked 3 million Swiss francs of restructuring charges in the quarter, taking our total savings to 31 million Swiss francs in the first 9 months of 2025. As a reminder, this program is set to deliver 80 million Swiss francs by 2027, with a significant contribution expected this year. We expect to book the total 75 million Swiss francs of restructuring charges related to this program in 2025. Now turning to our 2025 guidance. We anticipate local currency sales growth at the lower end of our guided 1 to 3% range due to weaker industrial production and weaker consumer sentiment. We also confirm our 2025 profitability guidance of 17 to 18% EBITDA margin before exceptional items, underscoring our confidence in sustaining our improved levels of profitability. Last Friday, Clariant's Board of Directors decided to reduce its size from 11 to 8 members. This will be reflected in the nominations for the upcoming AGM 2026 on April 1st next year. Supporting these changes, 5 current directors will not stand for re-election, and 2 new independent members will be nominated as appropriate ahead of the 2026 AGM. With this proposal, the board aligns with Clariant's right-sized organizational setup, and it optimizes independence, tenure, and gender diversity. The management team thanks the departing directors for their trustful collaboration over many years. Now, moving on to more details relating to our financial performance in the third quarter of 2025. We delivered sales of 906 million Swiss francs. In local currency, this represents a 3% decrease, with the reported figure impacted by a 6% negative currency translation effect. We maintained pricing discipline across our portfolio with a year-on-year increase in adsorbents and additives and flat pricing in care chemicals and catalysts. Volumes decreased at a low single-digit percentage rate in Care Chemicals and Adsorbents and Additives, while catalyst volumes decreased by 8% as the weak economic environment and utilization rates continue to trade below long-term averages, impacting refill timing. Turning to profitability, as I already noted, we had a strong overall performance with a 230 basis point improvement in EBITDA margins before exceptional items versus the third quarter of 2024. In total, the business units drove a 130 basis point improvement, mainly from our performance improvement programs, price and cost management. The remaining 100 basis points was in corporate, with the majority related to phasing of provisions. In Care Chemicals, lower volumes were more than offset by a positive mix effect and contribution from Lucas Meyer Cosmetics. In Catalyst, lower volumes were partly compensated by price and cost management. In Adsorbents and Additives, profitability was positively impacted by pricing and mix effect, despite slightly lower volumes. Reported EBITDA increased by 14% to 159 million Swiss francs, representing a reported margin of 17.5%, including 3 million Swiss francs restructuring charges booked in the quarter. With that, I now hand over to Oliver for further details on our business performance in the third quarter.
Thank you, Conrad, and good afternoon, everyone. It's great to join the call today and present the first set of quarterly results as the CFO of Clariant. I look forward to fruitful discussions with our investors and the analyst community going forward. Let us now dive into the third quarter development by business unit, starting with Care Chemicals, where we recorded a strong margin uplift despite a weak industrial market environment. Sales declined by 3% in local currency, entirely due to lower volumes. We recorded high single-digit organic growth in mining solutions, as we were able to cater for increased demand and compare against prior year, which was impacted by destocking. Sales in oil services increased at a mid-single-digit percentage rate, recovering from shut-ins in the first half of this year. As mentioned, the weak industrial market environment also impacted our industrial applications and base chemicals businesses, both recording a high single-digit decline, suffering from tariff uncertainties. Finally, personal and home care and crop solutions both declined at a low single-digit percentage rate. Regionally, sales in EMEA as well as the Americas decreased by a mid-single-digit percentage rate as destocking led to lower order volumes. Sales in Asia Pacific increased at a low single-digit percentage rate as the capacity expansion in Daya Bay, China, drove local volume growth. We recorded an EBITDA before exceptional items of 92 million Swiss francs, representing a stable performance compared to the prior year. This translated into a margin of 18.9%, representing a 150 basis points improvement. Profitability was positively impacted by the strong operational performance of Lucas Meyer Cosmetics, as well as positive mix effect and contribution from the performance improvement programs. In Catalyst, we were able to drive a margin improvement in a weak demand environment. Sales decreased by 8% in local currency, entirely as a result of lower volumes versus the prior year period. Low double-digit sales growth in specialties did not offset declines in the other segments. The weak environment and utilization rates continuing to trade below long-term averages, impacting refill timings for propylene catalyst in China in particular, leading to a high double-digit percentage rate decline. Sales in syngas and fuels, as well as ethylene, were down by a mid-single-digit percentage rate versus a strong comparable in the case of syngas and fuels. Regional dynamics were driven by the refill delivery schedules of the business, with sales in the Americas increasing at a high double-digit percentage rate, driven by deliveries in propylene and ethylene catalysts. In both EMEA and Asia Pacific, sales decreased at a high single-digit percentage rate, driven by lower sales in ethylene catalysts in EMEA and lower propylene catalysts in China. In the third quarter, EBITDA before exceptional items decreased by 13% to 33 million Swiss francs, representing a margin of 19.3% versus 18.7% in the prior year. This was driven by gross margin improvement and contributions from performance improvement programs, which more than offset the impact of lower volumes. Moving to adsorbents and additives, where we also drove a margin improvement of 130 basis points versus prior year, supported by our continued additives growth. Sales increased by 1% in local currency, with pricing up 3%, while volumes decreased by 2%. By segment, adsorbent sales decreased by a mid-single-digit percentage rate, while additives increased by a high single-digit percentage rate. Regionally, we recorded sales growth in EMEA at a low single-digit percentage rate, driven by pricing. In the Americas, sales decreased at a high single-digit percentage rate, as growth in additives did not fully offset a decline in adsorbents. Sales increased at a low double-digit percentage rate in Asia Pacific, driven by volume growth in both adsorbents and additives. EBITDA before exceptional items increased by 5% to 42 million Swiss francs, with a margin of 17.2% versus 15.9% in the prior year. Profitability was driven by growth and mix effects in additives, as well as benefits from the performance improvement programs. Cost efficiencies and raw materials of 5% also contributed positively. Now turning to our Investor Day savings program. As a reminder, we expect full run rate savings of 80 million Swiss francs from business unit and corporate actions to be delivered by end of 2027 for the savings programs that we announced in November of last year. As Konrad mentioned earlier, savings achieved in the first 9 months total 31 million Swiss francs, with 19 million Swiss francs delivered in the third quarter. Key measures aimed at helping us to deliver these savings are being implemented. These include a headcount reduction of approximately 340 full-time equivalents as of 30th of September 2025 across the businesses and corporate functions. The closure of two production lines and two sites globally as part of our footprint optimization, and procurement savings of 15 million Swiss francs related to structural changes in qualifying alternative suppliers and best practice contract management. In the first 9 months of 2025, we booked 63 million of the expected 75 million Swiss francs in restructuring. And with this, I close my remarks and hand back to you, Konrad.
Thank you, Oliver. Let me conclude with our outlook for 2025. There remains an increased level of risk and uncertainty due to tariffs and trade tensions, which has a negative impact on global industrial growth expectations and consumer sentiment. According to the latest assessment of Oxford Economics, the global GDP is mainly driven by AI investments and services, while industrial production is still lagging. In addition, the uncertainty created by tariffs and trade tensions is impacting consumer demand for durable and semi-durable goods. Oxford Economics' global GDP growth projection for 2025 has slightly increased from 2.5% after H1 to 2.8% in October, driven by the AI boom in the US. On the other hand, their chemicals industry forecast further declined to 2.1% growth from 2.2% growth after the first half year in 2025, and from 2.9% at the beginning of this year. This weakened market environment assumption in the US and Europe in particular aligns with our own experience, and we therefore expect local currency sales growth to be at the lower end of the 1 to 3% range for 2025. We expect slight local currency growth in Care Chemicals and in Adsorbents and Additives, with sales in Catalyst expected to be slightly below those of 2024. We continue to expect to deliver an EBITDA margin before exceptional items of between 17 and 18%. The continued profitability improvement in prior years and in the first 9 months of this year shows the effectiveness of the structural changes we implemented under our performance improvement programs. We also aim to further improve cash conversion towards our 40% target. Despite these current impacts, we remain committed to delivering our medium-term targets, supported by the continued execution of our targeted initiatives. With that, I turn the call back over to you, Andreas.
Thank you, Conrad and Oliver. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now opening the floor for questions. To ensure everyone has a chance to participate, please ask no more than two questions per person. Thank you for your cooperation. Sandra, please go ahead.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your telephone. You will hear a tone to confirm that you have entered the queue. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Questioners on the phone are requested to disable the loudspeaker mode and eventually turn off the volume of the webcast while asking a question. Anyone with a question may press star and one at this time. Our first question comes from Thea Badaro from BNP Exane. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, both. Two questions from me, please. I'll start with the obvious one. You've clearly booked lower exceptionals in the quarter than most people expected. Are you still anticipating the full $75 million to be booked this year, or do you maybe expect some of it to be pushed into next year? And then my second one is on CapEx. I've noticed that you're now guiding to $180 million versus 10% higher at Q2 and 20% higher at the beginning of the year. Where is most of the cut coming from, and how should we think about it through to 2027? Thank you.
Yeah, so I'll let Oliver comment on the one-offs, and I'm sure he also has some comments to be made on CapEx. But basically, if you look high level at CapEx, we're actually very pleased with, I think, a structurally lower level of CapEx when you look at Clariant compared to historic levels. The key reason is that after the opening, in fact, the opening next week of our new Care Chemicals plant, which was an $80 million investment in China, and after the opening of the second line of the additives line in China, which was a $40 million investment, most of the CapEx, the gross CapEx, is actually behind us. So you see now a switch towards more maintenance-oriented CapEx. And that is actually structural, because if you look at capacities, we're actually quite happy now with the global footprint, and we don't target any sort of new greenfield plants in the foreseeable future. Maybe Oliver can comment on one-offs in the quarter and moving forward, as well as maybe some more detailed comments if you have them on CapEx.
Sure. Hello, Thea. Yeah, I mean, you're right. We booked so far like $63 million of one-offs year to date. Q3 was a bit of a smaller one with a $3 million. But we still foresee, as we communicated before, that we're going to hit the $75 million for the full year. And with that, obviously delivering on the $80 million savings that we envisioned. As we said, 31 of that we have seen in the first 9 months. And we still have the confidence that more than half of that will be delivered by the end of the year. Maybe one additional comment on CapEx. Yes, indeed, the guidance that we have given with the 180 is now lower than what we have seen in previous years and also beginning of the year. And additionally to Conrad's comments, of course, that is also a function of the business dynamics that we're seeing right now. And our commitment to deliver on our cash flow commitments that we have given, with managing towards the 40% cash conversion that we have been communicating before.
Great, thank you, and nice to meet you, Oliver.
Nice to meet you, Thea.
The next question comes from Katie Richards from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, Conrad, Oliver, and Andreas. Thank you for taking my questions. I've got one on Care Chemicals, please, and then one on absorbents and additives, if I may. So on Care Chemicals, could you just talk us through the margin bridge, please? If I take the 1% raw materials decline and higher energy costs, this looks to have been a slight tailwind for the quarter, maybe about $1 million. And obviously, we have $5 million add back, I think, from the inventory reevaluation of Lucas Meyer not occurring this quarter. And then taking into account the volume headwind, it looks like the positive mix effect or the cost savings coming through must have been pretty significant this quarter. So just any color on the bridge here and how significant the positive mix effect would have been outside of Lucas Meyer. And then on absorbents and additives, I was quite intrigued by your comments that the Americas decreased at high single-digit percentage rates driven by absorbents, with volumes impacted by the U.S. renewable fuels regulation. I was of the understanding that the EPA was increasing the blending mandate, and this would be a benefit for clients. So can you explain what's going on here? Is it just poor utilization or regulatory uncertainty?
Okay, Katie, yes, thank you for those questions. I'll make some high-level comments on margins on Care Chemicals, but let Oliver also provide here some additional details, and I also will comment on the absorbents. Slow demand right now in the U.S. So first of all, on Care Chemicals, we were extremely pleased, actually, with the step-up in EBITDA margin from basically before exceptional items from 17.4% last year to 18.9%. That is a combination high level of pricing, where actually we've been able to hold prices in an environment where raw materials went actually down by 1%. That is very consistent with our strategy. We are seeing some competitors sort of going out for volume, but we are actually able to hold prices in an environment where there's weak demand. And I think that's a testimony to the strengths of our products, but also I think a big compliment to our frontline sales leaders. Positive effect from pricing on margins, positive effect from mix, where you see weakness in the sort of lower margin segments like industrial applications and base chemicals, and finally, performance improvement programs that are contributing here. Adsorbents, the weakness in renewables in the U.S., yeah, there is clearly a weakness right now. If you look at basically biodiesel, where we do the purification with our adsorbents, but also SAF, where we do the purification. There were incentive packages that temporarily were taken away by the new Trump administrations, but under the new big and beautiful tax bill, there is actually incentives. There are incentives again. The challenge here is that these still need to be approved by Congress, and the current shutdown of the government hasn't helped here. So it is not a structurally lower growth market, but there is a temporary weakness in markets for biodiesel and SAF, but we expect this to pick up actually early next year.
Thank you. Just one follow-up, because you mentioned people going for volume. Some of your competitors have commented on increased Asian competition, particularly in surfactants. Do you think you are making volume concessions to protect margins here?
No, we're not making any concessions. We just are basically holding price. There's no need for us to lower the price on products that are differentiated enough that they add a lot of value to our customers. That's one effect. I think the other effect is the continued repositioning towards more premium, more specialty, more consumer-facing segments in Care Chemicals.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from Christian Faitz from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Two questions, please, from my side. In your catalyst business, is there any visibility into 2026, i.e. customers flagging for example, that mothballed plants might be back and might need a catalyst refill. And then the second question is actually on Lucas Meyer. I mean, well noted that this business continues to contribute nicely to the profit development of your Care Chemicals business. Can you please elucidate a bit if the business kept its high operating margins when it entered Clariant? I believe it was in the 40, actually in the higher 40% EBITDA. Or is consumer hesitancy also impacting the Lucas Meyer business a bit? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much, Christian, for these two questions. Well, first of all, we're not giving an outlook yet for next year, 2026, nor for catalysts, but maybe I can maybe reference some of the industry data, where basically, if you look at chemical production volumes, this year we're heading for, let's say, a 2.5% growth overall globally in chemical production. That is actually a mix between flat growth in Europe, slightly up in the US, and let's say around a 5% growth in China. If you look, however, for next year, there is an anticipation of further slowing down in chemical production growth. So if you look at next year, the industry outlooks are more like a 1.5% growth for chemical production globally, which basically is an outlook that's based on, again, flat production volumes in Europe. Volumes turning slightly negative, actually, in the US next year as a result of tariffs. And people expect a further slowdown in China from currently, let's say, 5% growth to very low single-digit growth. So in terms of bottoming out, we're certainly not bottoming out this year. For our catalyst business, as you've seen in our numbers, we think, though, that next year with these outlooks, that is actually a bottom. And on a positive note, in 27, you should see a recovery, actually, and that is, for all of our businesses, a positive. At some point in time, consumers will start to buy durable and semi-durable goods again. People will start to buy new furniture, new electronics products, etc. And that means a recovery will come in chemicals, but it's delayed. Finally, on Lucas Meyer, we're very pleased with the performance inside Clariant, and I can confirm that margins still are, let's say, mid to high 40s in terms of EBITDA.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Christian Bell from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, well done on the result. I just have two questions. My first question relates to your guidance, which I think I'll ask in two parts if I can. So part A to that, to meet your sales guidance, you'll need about 5% organic growth in Q4 to offset foreign exchange of about negative 5%, and that's coming off organic growth of negative 3% in the quarter just been. So just curious, where is that strength coming from by segment? It looks like you'll need a big fourth quarter for both Care and Catalysts. So, you know, is that market driven, keeping in mind you've already indicated that that doesn't seem likely? Or is it sort of tied to specific projects? And then part B to that question is, after narrowing your sales guidance, you've left Q4 EBITDA margin range quite wide, by my estimate, sort of 14 to 18%. So what's behind that variability? And then I'll wait to ask my second question.
Yeah, Christian, the sound was not so great. Could you repeat high level the question in very crisp language, because we couldn't hear it to you very well.
Okay, yeah. So it's about your guidance. What it implies for the fourth quarter, what you need to do to reach your guidance. On sales, it implies that you need to do about 5% organic growth. And I'm wondering where that strength is coming from. It looks like you need to have big quarters from Care and Catalysts, which seems difficult in the current environment.
Yeah, not clear. Now, let me comment on revenue, and I'll let Oliver comment on the profitability, on the EBITDA guidance. If you look at revenue guidance, for us to land at the low end of the 1-3% local currency growth, what we're guiding for, indeed, you're correct, we need a pickup in the final quarter, not only sequentially, but also relative to prior year. Where we see mainly that happening is in Care Chemicals, where we actually had last year an unusual weak season for de-icing that was entirely weather-related. This year, based on a normalized sort of pattern in terms of the weather, we should see a big pickup in Care Chemicals relative to prior year and also sequentially. On top of that, we actually see a strong pipeline in mining. You see that in our numbers, our Q3 numbers, as well as in oil services. And both of these increases in Q3 were market share related, which should continue as a positive momentum in fourth quarter. And finally, the Lucas Meyer business continues to do well, both in terms of revenue and margins. Catalyst is against a very strong Q4 last year, but based on the order book, we expect a solid quarter in Catalyst, both for PDH, propane to propylene, orders in the book from China again, as well as for ethylene. And finally, adsorbents and additives is slowing, as mentioned, but we expect the pattern to continue consistent with prior quarters. But all in all, we do indeed expect a pickup from prior year, which should land us somewhere close to the bottom end of this guidance range. Maybe Oliver, some comments on EBITDA margins.
Yeah, hi, Christian. Maybe one addition to the top line, which also explains a little bit the bottom line performance. I mean, you have seen the catalyst volume decline of 8% in Q3. There was indeed a bit of a move from some of the orders from Q3 into Q4. This is why you see a softer Q3 in catalyst. And then obviously that will be part of that driver for the Q4 performance that we are expecting. And with that, based on the top line picture that Konrad was painting here, the growth in catalyst, the growth in care is going to drive margins in the fourth quarter. And then we have two counter effects. One is that we slow down on production in additives and adsorbents as a measure also of optimizing our net working capital and staying committed on the cash flow performance. And the second one is the corporate cost phasing that we were mentioning in Q3. Which is a different phasing of incentive provisions this year versus previous year. And you see that one coming back, those costs coming back in Q4 then. And that's going to drive the margin performance. And we expect, obviously, to land then the margin in the guidance range that we have provided.
I think my question was slightly more simple in a way, in that how come you've narrowed your sales guidance, but you haven't sort of narrowed your margin guidance for the fourth quarter? But why is the sort of margin guidance so wide in the fourth quarter alone?
I mean, we haven't really adjusted our guidance overall, as you know. I mean, the sales guidance is since second quarter, the 1-3, and the margin guidance is also still 17-18, we didn't adjust any of the guidance ranges, so there's no particular reason behind that.
Okay, cool. And sorry if I could just squeeze in my second question. I think it sort of follows on from one of the previous ones, some of the commentary around from your peers in care chemical segment. Just curious, is that sort of increased competition from Chinese players a more recent development, and how do you sort of see that dynamic evolving in the near to medium term?
Yeah, increasing competition from Chinese players, we are actually seeing little of that in our segments. So Catalyst is a true specialty business which requires a lot of IP and technology. We see very limited competition there from Chinese players. In Care Chemicals, certainly the segments where we are playing, we also see very limited competition. Where we are seeing actually quite some activity is in the additives area. And that is actually for local players, for example, for UV stabilizers, but even some local players for flame retardants. Now, some of these are, frankly, the so-called copycats that are infringing our IP, and we're going obviously against that, but we are well positioned with local manufacturing for flame retardants there. But one of the things that we did see was for the UV stabilizers that we were no longer competitive with the plants out of Muttenz in Switzerland. And this is actually part of the recent restructuring line that we will actually transfer that production from Switzerland to India to become more competitive for these UV stabilizers. But in all of these segments, we have differentiated technology, but local manufacturing in China has become really a prerequisite to be competitive.
All right. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you.
The next question comes from James Hooper from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you very much for taking my questions. The first one's around the board changes. Can you give us a little bit more background on why you wanted to cut the numbers on the board, and then also a little bit more on what you're looking for from the new board members and what you're expecting the board to do? And then the second one's a little bit about capital allocation. I think it was referenced earlier in the CapEx question that you've been taking CapEx down a little bit in order to protect cash flows. And, you know, given the low growth environment we find ourselves in, and particularly 2026, not a high year of chemical production, is there an extent that you need to trade off your kind of 2027 medium-term targets? You're making great progress on the margins, but are you going to have to choose a little bit between making growth investments in this macro environment or protecting cash flows? Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, James. I'll take the first question on the board changes, and then Oliver will make some comments on capital allocation and CapEx specifically. Yeah, if you look at the board changes, what we have done recently over the years in the company is actually to right-size the company in terms of delayering, in terms of taking out duplication in management. We used to have this decision-making matrix with functional directors, country directors, BU directors. We basically implement full P&Ls and three business units. But the board, basically in size, has not adjusted. And the consistent feedback from proxy advisors recently has been that they perceive the board of Clariant, they perceived the board of Clariant, I should say, as too large. The feedback from proxy advisors also has been that on gender diversity, we are currently not meeting the 30% target for a minimum representation of females on the board. And finally, in terms of independent board members, some of our board members had a tenure above 12 years, and then they are no longer seen as independent. So it is these three elements that consistently have been brought up by the proxy advisors: the size of the board, the diversity of the board, the independence of the board, that actually are now being addressed with the reduction of the board to 8 and by bringing in two new independent outside board members. So it's not that we're lacking certain expertise to your question. It's really very much building on the feedback by proxy advisors.
Okay, hi James. On your capital allocation question, and without maybe hitting too much on the 27, because as we said before, we're not looking at specific numbers now for 27, but maybe more in general how we will look at capital allocation. How we approach it is very much from focusing on a triangle of growth, margin, and cash, and the decisions around capital allocation is pretty much balancing this off across the portfolio and the segments that we are having. And capital allocation, of course, is the strategy that we're having here is to fund innovation, to drive the growth for the future, and with that also driving then obviously the cash generation of the company. In terms of capacity availability for a potential growth, then growth pickup in 27. This is what the industry indicates at the moment. There's capacity available for us, so therefore we are also well prepared for potential pickup in that time window.
The next question comes from Tristan Lamotte from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. A couple which are kind of linked and high level. In chemicals, I was wondering, is your view that something has changed structurally in Europe in H2 25, or is this kind of a global and cyclical weakness? I'm just trying to figure out if this weak Q3 level is kind of the new run rate, or if there's something kind of exceptional in the H2 that will revert. And then the second part to that question is, I'm just wondering what your current views are on the levels of support that chemicals is getting in Europe, and whether this needs to increase, and what practically could be done in that regard. It seems there's been a lot of discussion on what needs to happen, but the follow-through to this date has been quite limited. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Tristan. Yeah, so as far as your question, what has changed, if anything, structurally in H2? Well, I think we need to take a look a little bit back further. So what structurally changed for Europe is actually 2022, and we have no longer access to cheap piping gas from Russia. That is actually the reason that European production levels in chemicals in Europe are still about 20% below the last year before Corona, whereas it has recovered basically in the U.S. and Asia is well ahead of pre-Corona levels. So this is the structural change. It is affecting primarily the chemical industry that is high energy intense, which we're clearly not. And it is also affecting parts of the chemical industry that use gas as a footprint, as a feedstock, which we're also not. So for us, we have a global footprint. We have 65% of our revenue outside Europe, and what we see is a shift of some production and consumption away from Europe, but we pick that then up elsewhere. So for us, this as being truly specialty is all manageable, but it's fair to say that a good part of the industry is affected by this. To your change, what's Europe doing? I think there are some positive signs. So we had, first of all, the Green Deal, which was primarily a package of legislation and commitments to carbon neutrality in 2050. What you now see is the new European Commission has this Clean Industrial Deal, which is much more focused on the competitiveness of the industry. So Europe needs, obviously, a competitive industry to deliver the Green Deal, and I think there are some positive signs here. But in all fairness, there's still some ways to go. And the carbon taxation is obviously something that at the time that this came up was absolutely seen as the right instrument. There was, however, the assumption that other regions in the world would follow. That's one thing. And at the time, the industry was making money. I think two things have changed. The other regions have not followed with carbon taxation, and the industry right now is struggling to a large extent, and can then itself much more difficult it is then to fund this energy transition. So this is, I think this is on the radar for the European Commission, but still some more work needs to be done here, I think.
That's great. Thanks.
Thank you.
The last question is from Walter Bamert from Zürcher Kantonalbank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. On the first question is regarding the board changes, and there it is mentioned that the two new board members will be independent. Does this apply that these are not from SABIC, so the SABIC members will be reduced from four to two?
Yeah, that's correct, Walter. The SABIC representatives have been reduced from four to two. And I will also say that the German shareholders had representation of two board members. That also has been reduced from two to one. And indeed, the two new board members coming in from the outside will be independent board members.
Okay. And then can you please help me with the headquarter cost, which was very low in the third quarter? Should that be for the full second half be at the level of the previous year, so a reversal, or is it rather that the fourth quarter only is at previous year level?
Yeah, Walter, indeed, this is a phasing between the two quarters, Q3 and Q4. So that cost will come back in Q4. We have a bit of a different phasing of incentives provision from previous year to this year.
Okay. But I hope for you that the incentives will be at the same level as previous year. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Walter.
Thank you.
Ms. Klasova, your line is open. You may proceed with your question.
Hello. Thank you for taking my last-minute question. I think I just have one left at this stage. Could you comment in a bit more detail about developments you're seeing in the crop solutions end market? You have mentioned somewhat softer performance in Q3, but in part due to stronger comparable. How do you see that developing maybe into next year? Because, again, some of your peers mentioned somewhat slowing momentum in the end market.
Yeah, in terms of crop, Angelina, we basically compare against a much weaker prior year where there was still destocking. So for the full year, we still see high single-digit growth in crop protection. We indeed had, in the third quarter, we basically had sort of low single-digit negative in crop solutions, but that was against actually a strong sort of restocking quarter last year. So underlying, we see good demand. There's nothing here to worry. We actually think for the year we will end up high single digits. It's actually a strong segment for us.
Thank you.
We have a question from Ranulf Orr from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. I'm just wondering about how you view Clariant's portfolio overall, as a kind of combination of fairly discrete businesses. And in the context of a weak, another weak year in 2026, and frankly, who knows for 2027, I mean, is now maybe the time to start thinking about whether there's value to be had in breaking Clariant up or doing asset swaps to improve your scale in some of the businesses and make the individual units more competitive on a global scale? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Ranulf. Yeah, so if you look at the portfolio, high level, where we came from was a hybrid between, on the one hand, commodity chemicals and, on the other hand, specialty chemicals. Over the years, we have successfully repositioned the business towards purely specialty chemicals. As you are aware, we divested our Masterbatch business. We divested more recently the pigment business, even more recently the North America oil land business. And what we have now is really a portfolio that really is truly specialty in nature, and we're actually very pleased with the businesses there. To your point, limited growth in 26, limited growth this year. There may at some point be a certain level of industry consolidation. That is certainly what most people are predicting. We obviously want to play an active role in that, but you've also seen that we've been very disciplined with the acquisitions that we've made in recent years. All of these have actually strengthened our core businesses, and we have no intent to bring in businesses that sort of do not bring true synergy to the existing portfolio.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
We have now a question from Chris Counihan from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks so much for squeezing me in. I just wanted to come back to the board changes and the reduction, because I just sort of thinking back to a few years ago and the accounting investigation that happened, I think, in 2022. And as part of the investigations, you talked about more controls, financial controls over financial reporting procedures, a lot in the finance side, but I also remember you at that stage talking about, more active board control and involvement in terms of controls at Clariant. So I'm just trying to marry the statements from a few years ago versus now the way forward of reducing the board size, because it almost feels to me like the board's role in such controls is maybe reducing as well.
Yeah, no, Chris, this is totally unrelated. So we basically are in 2025 now. We had the accounting challenge that was actually very early on in my assignment. That was about the 2021 numbers and even 2020 numbers. Then indeed, you're right, Chris, we discussed it at the time. We identified a number of serious gaps. We brought in a new CFO. We really strengthened our checks and balances and controls, including more appropriate involvement by including our board members at the time. But no, this is in place now, solidly in place for a number of years, and these recent announced board changes are unrelated to that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. So, ladies and gentlemen, before we close today's call, we would like to ask for your feedback by scanning the QR code on the presentation or using the link, www.clariant.com/feedback. You will be guided to our feedback tool operated by Quantifier. We appreciate your views and your assessment and sincerely thank you for your support. So this concludes then our today's conference call. As I said, the transcript of the call will be available on the Clariant website in due course. The investor relations team is available for any further questions you might have. Once again, thank you for joining the call today and good afternoon. Yeah.